The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Wake up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Final hour of the show. It's 11:02. I'm Randy Corcoran, and it is so good to have you along. Man, what a busy morning. It's gone fast. It's a glorious day outside. Highs today in the lower 70s. Should be a very pleasant evening, maybe a little rain in the afternoon, but looks like a cool and pleasant evening tonight for the Napa Auto Parts Night of Fire and Thunder at good old Bandimir Speedway, up and running. Did not ask for permission. And we shall see what happens with that. But tickets are available, Bandimir.com, or just show up at the gate. Gates are open. Gosh, they'll be doing trial runs and preliminaries all afternoon long. So you should just get out there. Food and beverage and lots of fun. I can't wait to get there for sure. And so before we bring up our next guest, this is going to be so exciting for me. Never had him on the show before. I think I've got this right. We'll let him explain. Retired colonel out of the Department of Defense, expert in cybersecurity. And my good friend Sharona Bishop, America's mom, called me yesterday morning, and Stanley Thorne, one of the lawyers at my law firm, had been pushing me, you got to talk to this guy. And then yesterday morning, Sharona calls and said, hey, you got to talk to this guy. So I did, and he's going to join us here in just a minute. I want to remind you that if you're unfamiliar with America's mom and Sharona Bishop, you absolutely must check out her video, her YouTube channel, America's Mom, her Facebook page, America's Mom. And if you want a special reason to show up, I will be on with her at 5:30 Mountain Time on Monday to talk about our cases, to talk about the election, to talk about the status of shutdowns and how to continue to fight for your freedom in the face of mandatory vaccinations at work and in college and elsewhere. This battle is just heating up, much like the shutdown battle of last year. This is the new battle ahead, and we'll be talking about that 5:30. You can find her YouTube channel or her Facebook page, whatever suits what you do. But right now, let's get to it, because so many people, callers that we didn't get on, the notes about what they wanted to talk about was Colorado. What can we do in Colorado? And the first thing that you have to do to, if you have concerns about an election or you simply want to be assured that your vote counts properly and our elections are free, fair, and open to the people who are authorized to vote, is to make sure what happened, find out what happened in the last election. And that takes a certain special kind of expertise. And I think we're going to hear from somebody who possesses that right now. Sean, welcome and good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, really do appreciate it. And I don't know how – I didn't ask you for a biography. We didn't really even talk about it last night when we finally had our first conversation. Introduce your folks to the listeners to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran.
So my name is Sean Smith. I am a retired Air Force officer. I was mostly missile and space operations, spent a lot of time doing operational testing of weapon systems, and then oversight of operational testing of weapon systems. I would not ever, especially if you knew the people that I know, I would never call myself a cybersecurity expert. I am an expert in operational testing, but as a result of that, I've been exposed to what experts in cybersecurity look like. And once you've seen it, you can't unsee it, and you can't mistake someone who's an expert in it and knows what they're doing from someone who isn't. So if you've, it's sort of like, have you ever seen somebody doing drywall finish work? Like, I can do drywall finish work, but nobody would mistake me for an expert. It takes me 4 hours to do what a pro does in about 5 minutes, and my result isn't elegant. It's kind of the same with cybersecurity, but but I know what I'm looking at when I see somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. So
very good. Well, then explain to folks what expertise, experience, perspective that you bring into the work you're doing right now before we start actually talking about the work.
So I am a trained researcher. I'm a trained operational tester. What that means is I've been trained to do scientific tests and analysis techniques, and then to evaluate threats and quantify and qualify the threats, and to make sure that we have testing that is designed to determine whether or not a system can survive or prevail in the face of those threats. So I spent a lot of time doing that for the Department of Defense. I was, for about 4 years, the senior military evaluator for space and ISR systems, or intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance systems within Directorate of Operational Test and Evaluation. So this is an office underneath the Secretary of Defense whose director reports directly to the House and Senate Armed Services Committee. And it exists for the purpose of having an independent auditor that can tell the truth about what's happening with systems that are in development or modification, so that Congress has sound information on which to base judgments for funding, appropriations, et cetera. And as part of that, so the director there has the responsibility, and then as an officer, as a colonel or O6 working for him, I sat back-to-back with a government civilian, and he handled all the satellite communication systems, and I handled everything else. So global positioning systems, space-based infrared systems, space fence, and then a lot of classified programs and everything from weather satellite follow-on to offensive space control systems. So as part of that job, I would be down in the guts of the systems with the developers. We had people who assisted us. There were a bunch of PhDs from from IDA, which is a federally funded research development corporation. And together we would just be in the shorts of these programs to understand all the technical details, and then to make sure that they had test designs that were adequate to determine whether they were going to be effective and suitable. In other words, whether they were going to survive in combat and have their mission effect that they were supposed to have. And as part of that effort, you know, you would look at all the test plans, you would specify testing that they had to do, you would review and then recommend approval or disapproval or modifications. And then we would go observe the testing, and we would write our own independent reports, and we would review their reports out of the services. So our job was to tell the truth no matter what. And it just I'd never researched anything to do with elections, not an iota, prior to the 3rd of November of last year. I hadn't looked at the systems. I hadn't looked at the procedures. And when I started reading about them, it just so happened that the U.S. government sort of prepared me to be able to look at the technical documentation for the systems and the testing reports and the testing plans, and to be able to determine, you know, without a doubt in my mind, that they were inadequate. The testing that's been done on our election systems is just grossly inadequate.
And Sean, you're not a politico, you're not a registered Republican, registered Democrat, you're a snowboarding, family-loving, life-living American patriot, right? I mean,
my plan was to come back to Colorado and hike a lot. I've never been a registered member of a political party. I have no desire or taste. I had a political science undergraduate degree, but I stayed to theory and international relations and stayed out of the public administration and politics side. So, no, I just wanted to hike my dog and, you know, have a family and be left alone, but which is, you know, sort of the American dream. But
so how did you saw these reports and you realized that your skill set and your experience was perfectly suited to perhaps answer some of the questions that are out there? How did you actually get drawn into looking at Colorado's election?
So on the 3rd of November, I saw an article that was talking about turnout rates in Colorado. And you know, I had been paying attention for the first time, really, to who was participating and not participating, enthusiasm levels, that kind of thing. And I saw this news article that talked about voter participation in Colorado, and the levels that they were describing didn't seem right to me based on just what I had seen and observed. And so I went to the Secretary of State site and some other sites and started pulling up data and just doing some sort of back of the napkin data analysis in Excel. And when I saw, over a 4-year period, for example, that primary voting participation in Colorado had increased by 147%, I thought that never happens in a developed country. That's an insane number. And that made me want to go read more. And since I've been trained to research and am kind of a information seeker to begin with, I just started reading all the documents, technical documents, and then testing reports. Once I saw a testing report, I couldn't believe what I was looking at, that the testing report, the plan and the report, the descriptions of them were so inadequate compared to the threat that, the nation state level threat that our voting systems are facing. So
that was in
that's how I got into it.
That was in November. It's now May 22nd. Of course, the election's been certified and forensic audits are going on in Arizona, about to start in Maricopa or Fulton County in Georgia, Wyoming's W State, Wisconsin is talking about it. What steps have you taken in Colorado to try and get to the bottom of what happened in Colorado?
Well, I wasn't planning on doing, I had no plan. I sort of fell into it. I was talking to some other people. I'm involved with Convention of States, which I think of as a civic organization. And I was talking to some of those members, volunteers in Convention of States, about what I was seeing in reading through the documentation from the Secretary of State side about our voting systems and how they, as I would say, have not been tested as opposed to how they have been tested. And by that time, I had already read testing reports from other states, which were showing, pretty severe vulnerabilities, and there was nothing in our state documentation that was reflecting it. So I'd mentioned it on one of our calls with Convention of States members, and one of them talked to her state legislator, and then I ended up talking to him on the phone, and then they invited me. I talked to other state legislators, and they invited me up to the December 15th hearing, the Legislative Audit Committee hearing at the Colorado General Assembly. So that was how I sort of, and then by being there and speaking, a lot of other people reached out to me. And so I started realizing there were more people working on it, and I got connected to some of them. Since then, we're connected to hundreds of people and dozens of organizations. And it's interesting because none of the, so I wouldn't consider myself a cybersecurity expert, although I do know the difference between someone who knows cybersecurity and someone who doesn't, but I am a testing expert. And all the other, I've run into computer science experts, mathematics experts, statistical data analysis experts, and every one of them I run into, we sort of converged. None of us wanted to do anything with elections. We found ourselves in it because we saw something that just didn't look right and couldn't stop researching it. And then once we saw it, we're talking to each other and trying to get to the bottom. So I got connected with U.S. Election Integrity Plan and also a group here in El Paso County, Colorado. And we just have been coordinating, sharing information, developing procedures, figuring out how to describe accurately and in a straightforward, less technical manner what we're finding, so that hopefully legislators and the public understand that our systems are extraordinarily vulnerable, may have been compromised, that nobody I know who's been digging into this has any confidence in our election or our election system as it is.
Talking with retired colonel from the Department of Defense, Sean Smith, an expert in operational testing to be more accurate. And Sean, I know that I'm aware of some of the things that are going on this week in Colorado. Don't want to steer you to any places that we don't want to talk about at this point. I also know over the last few weeks you've been having conversations with clerks and recorders, former election officials, people like my friend Matt Crane, who's come under some real scrutiny in light of the Dominion machines in Colorado and elsewhere. What kind of a response have you had? Who and what can you actually talk about in this interview today?
Well, a group of citizens, and it's not just Election Integrity Plan. I mean, there are a lot of other citizens on their own. That's the funny thing is we run into citizens who have started this in their own groups or working on individually. People are, you know, compelled by conscience to try to find out what's true, and that you know, aligns very well with USCIP. So we met with El Paso County Clerk and Recorder, Mr. Chuck Broerman, and several of his staff members last week. We had, they're very cordial. They showed us a briefing that was their take on Dr. Doug Frank's work and conclusions regarding the, Dr. Frank's conclusion that an algorithm has been used to determine how many votes can be cast, and that the indications of the algorithm will show you, if you do that analysis, it'll help you predict how many fraudulent voters you might find in a specific area. It's interesting because, a lot of people focus on trying to refute Dr. Frank, but the truth is that a lot of different experts in a lot of different domains have come to very similar or complementary conclusions. And nothing we're doing is dependent on, the accuracy of Dr. Frank's work. And it may very well be that he's not accurate, although I doubt that. And if he's not accurate, then you really have a hard time explaining how he predicted how many fraudulent voters they would find in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, and then went and found them. So that's, it's fine to say that man can't fly, but it's ridiculous to say it after you see the plane flying, which is sort of what's happened with Dr. Frank. So.
And as Colorado activists and truth seekers finally begin to get their hands on ballots and election results in some of the different counties around Colorado, we're finding significant discrepancies as well, right? I mean, 29 votes from the same address, large numbers of ballots coming in from Alzheimer's facilities or brain injury facilities. Fraudulent votes, just duplicate ballots that don't have original ballots that can't be tied to them. That may be from another state, that last one. But what specifically are you aware of right now that you can talk about in Colorado?
So I would say this: the Colorado election system, under the Secretary of State that the clerks and recorders are part of executing, the mechanism for auditing is a very, very weak mechanism. It's something called risk limiting audit. It's one of these, it's like Yogi Berra would say that, in theory, there's no difference between theory and practice, but in practice there is. So the theory behind the risk limiting audit is that you can select randomly a small number of ballots to audit. And it's an efficient way to audit with some confidence that you won't find any errors. But the truth of the matter is that the risk-limiting audit, the software they use is opaque. Like, nobody really sees what's happening there. They make this show of it being random, but then you don't know what the software is doing or even why we would need a very, long software program to pick random numbers. But it only audits, even then, it only audits a few ballots and compares them to determine whether your tabulation was accurate, and we don't have any confidence in that. The right way to audit is really comprehensive. So you audit the voters, so you verify their eligibility. So if the state says that you have, 10 voters in a precinct and they voted in the November 2020 election, then you go knock on their door and you see if there's a house there, and you see if that voter's there, and you see if they voted, and you see if they voted by the mechanism that the Secretary of State says they voted by. And we have that public record. Theoretically, it's a public record, although we have to pay to get access to that public record, even though it's, supposed to be a public record, but we've paid. And so we're in the process of doing that. We have multiple counties that are either preparing or executing voter verification. It's just verifying the accuracy of the state's voting records. There's nothing partisan about it. We don't care exactly how people voted. We care whether or not we're accurately reflecting those voting records. So that's the first thing to do. And then the next thing to do is to audit the actual ballots themselves, the paper ballots and the ballot envelopes. And this has been a sticking point because none of the county clerks, or very few of them, we actually have a few county clerks, and I don't want to say their names because they'll probably get attacked by the Secretary of State, but there are a few county clerks who have been cooperative and who also have concerns and want to know what's going on in the elections. The other thing I would say about this is, regardless of what we find, we'll tell the truth about what we find. I've said it before, and I mean it. I'd rather slit my own throat than tell a lie. And so if we don't find evidence of fraud, I'll say it. I'll say that. But if we find evidence of fraud, which I'm afraid that we will and we're concerned about, then we're going to say that too. And that seems to be the real objection. There are a lot of public officials who are responsible for the integrity of elections. And as far as we can tell, there are very few public officials who are actually engaged trying to make sure that we have integrity in our elections. They're busy trying to reassure the public that everything is just fine. And we're pretty sure it's not. Even if we don't find fraud, which I think we will, we are going to, without a doubt, find that the systems are highly, highly vulnerable. And considering the threat facing them, that shouldn't be anything acceptable to a public official and certainly not to citizens. So what we're doing right now is working on voter verification, so going door to door, and that'll increase. You know, there are a lot of volunteers that want to participate, and we welcome all of them. We train people how to do it. We have procedures to do it. It's done in a very professional manner. We're collecting the data in a professional manner so that we can get that data aggregated and coherent. And if we find anomalies, then we produce affidavits regarding those anomalies. And then what we do with those will be, you know, making the public aware, sharing them with public officials. And if they indicate evidence of fraud, then we would expect the public officials to execute their sworn duty and to refer those for, you know, investigation and potentially prosecution.
All right. Retired Colonel from the Department of Defense, Sean Smith, is with us, and we're nearing the end of our segment, Sean. It's our first. It will not be our last. A couple of things I'd like you to just answer real quick. Number one, you talked about getting volunteers. Can you direct folks to a website if they want to participate?
Sure. USEIP, that's Uniform Sierra Echo India Papa .org. It stands for U.S. Election Integrity Plan.org. And there's a Get Involved tab there, and people can sign up. And we vet all the volunteers to make sure we're not really dealing with vulnerable people, but we want to make sure that nobody has a, you know, a background that could compromise the integrity of the effort. So yeah,
we had one of the founders of USEIP.org and the movement at the Arapaho Tea Party about a week and a half ago. So we got people excited there. And last question, need a short answer. Jefferson County was putting up a massive cost. I think it started at $50,000 or $100,000, then dropped down to $10,000 that they were demanding in order to turn over the paper ballots in Jefferson County. Is Jefferson County under your watch, and have they decided to cooperate and actually just simply producing the documentation that they're supposedly holding in public trust?
Yeah, so they are on our radar. All Colorado counties are, but as one of the larger ones, of course, Jefferson is going to be one of our focal points. You know, if you want to do something like fraud in a state like Colorado, you have to go after the largest counties. You can't do it in the smaller ones.
And, so we're out of time. So did they drop the price?
I'd have to talk with the county captain there to know what the latest is on that. We've had some pretty extraordinary demands for, you know, public costs to view public records. Part of this is that, you know, some of the county clerks, not all of them, but some of them seem to think that they're custodians of the records because of the law, as opposed to being custodians of the records
for the people,
they're in a position of public trust.
Yeah. And Sean,
the elections belong to us.
They do. And we've got to leave it there. But I really appreciate your time this morning. We will have you back as more and more information comes to light, as the counties finally begin to turn over some of this documentation. This investigation is just beginning. And I'm so grateful to have people like you with your special skills, you know, guiding us and helping us figure out what there is to see and how to get at it. So thank you so much for your time, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Brandy. Same to you.
All right. It's USEIP.org if you want to get involved. USEIP.org. We are real late on the break. We'll get to your calls. 303-696-1971 is the number. You're listening to 710 KNUS.
This is the home of Peter Boyles in the morning. News Talk 710, KNUS.
We're not going to take it. No, we ain't going to take it. We're not going to take it anymore.
That's our side. This is their side.
I don't want it. I don't want it.
Congressman Jared Polis or this clown.
It's vaxxed or masked.
Pre-produced and sent out all over the world on social media after a press conference where reading from his teleprompter, Zombie Joe actually just said this.
It's vaxxed or masked.
What was that again, Joe?
It's vaxxed or masked.
All right. Thank you very much. And people are clamoring. Please, one more time, before the show is over, play that incredible voicemail message you got from your veteran patriot hero buddy Patrick in Texas. So here you go.
Hey, bro. I also wanted to let you know that I was in New York this weekend for a wedding, and I got the vaccine, but it was the, I guess, the less researched Chinese one. But they said that so far they haven't seen any side effects. But if I see any side effects, then I'll definitely let you know. But as of right now, there's nothing that I can see that's a side effect for the vaccine. So if you would like to get one, I can make you an appointment. No problem. Hope everything is okay with you, and have a good day. Okay, bye.
That corporate's such a racist. I just know I'm going to hear flack over that, but it is way too good. All right, well, our guest, we missed our guest at 10:45, and she's standing by, so we're going to talk to Aaron Foley here in just a moment about the Freedom 515 movement. But text messages, emails, and stuff have been pouring in about the interview we just did with retired Department of Defense Colonel Sean Smith on Colorado election integrity and expert operational testing, which is what he does. And one texter, great interview. Thanks, Randy. Hope you talk to him again. Guaranteed, this is an ongoing, brand new relationship, not only at the law firm, but with our audience here on Wake Up with Randy Corporate. And then Tracy writes, Sean gave them a bit of humble pie when at an election integrity hearing. This might have been the one at the state capitol. I'm not sure. Maybe, Tracy, you can clarify. At the election integrity hearing, they said the machines weren't connected to the internet. Sean said, explain to me then how up-to-the-minute Colorado election information goes to an outside reporting source for display on mainstream media. And I wasn't at that hearing. I'm guessing that the response to that was just nothing but silence. We're going to hear before the end of the show, too, I promise, the little boy. You heard the little girl in the last hour at the school board, the 8-year-old girl. She was just terrific. And there was a 10-year-old boy who addressed his school board and maybe made a difference. We'll play that before we're done with the show and let you decide for yourself. But so glad that we finally connected with Aaron Foley. And if you were with us in the 10 o'clock hour, I explained that after a funeral slash life celebration, I was driving home and I thought maybe I'll stop in at Bandimere's and just say hi, hang out for a few minutes. And instead, I saw on the opposite side of the access road a bunch of beautiful trucks and cars with Don't Tread on Me, Trump, America, Blue Lives Matter, just all kinds of patriotic flags and people. And I drove in. I was dressed, you know, sort of semi-business, I guess, and I was in a professional-looking vehicle, and I drove in with a very serious look on my face, and people looked like they were concerned, and I said, who's in charge here? And they brought Aaron Foley over, and we had a wonderful conversation. I'm so glad we get a chance to share her with you this morning on 710 KNUS. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. So sorry about that earlier. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, not a problem. And it was really cool. And I explained, I played the audio that's on the website of you talking mm-hmm. about, you know, how you got involved, what was sort of inspiring you to do what you did on May 15th. And we'll talk about the Freedom 515 movement here in just a second. But it was very interesting when you came over. I think people were afraid that maybe should they be there on that part of the Bandimere property or whatever. And you started to explain to me that somebody had asked you or told you that the Bandimeres were trying to keep a low profile politically. And I just almost broke out laughing to that. And you made it quite clear that you'd talked to the Bandimeres and they were 100% supportive of you using that area to stage the rally last Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. And it was really interesting. Obviously, we would never go on someone's private property without permission. Debbie was great and knew exactly what we were there and what we're all about. And she was, you know, they were so great to allow us to be there. We were super grateful.
Yeah, I bet they were. And they're just, you know, they've never been a political family. I'm wearing my Bandimere Let's see what it says exactly. Bandimere Speedway, home of Thunder Mountain, since 1965, special t-shirt that just came in last week for tonight's Napa Auto Parts Night of Fire and Thunder. And they never tried to be, wanted to be political, but they stand for America. They stand for God and country. They stand for freedom. And so they're not going to run away from political consequences or media scorn in supporting people who are just simply trying to wake up those Americans who've been a sheeple too long. And I'm sure they saw that in you. So talk to folks. Are you a mom? Are you a professional? What's your deal? And how did you get inspired to become a part of Freedom 515 movement?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a mom. I also work full time. Don't have any experience in politics or activism, but I think a lot of Americans can resonate with the fact that it almost feels like daily there's something else that you're just like, what is happening in this country? And how did we get here? And, you know, there's no Calgary coming to save us. That's up to the American people. And I figured, I was like, you know, let me just throw this idea out there. We'll see if it takes off, see what happens. And, you know, people really got on board. We got a ton of momentum. We threw together 40 plus nationwide events in 3 weeks. And we're going to do our next round of events on July 17th. But I think what's, you know, our core values are really freedom, accountability, integrity, and equal rights for everyone. And what we hope to do is create a really high level of accountability in government, because it's clearly just gone. And also, you know, try to restore the integrity in our politicians and in our government and ensure that the government works for the people. We're just getting started, but I'm really hopeful that we can, you know, gain numbers and start to execute really effective mass boycotts across the country, you know, with companies that are unethical and aren't really helping the American people. And that's, you know, that's just the start. But I'm so grateful for everyone who's gotten on board so far, and we're going to continue to grow.
Isn't it exciting when you see how many people, so many people out there still think, you know, because of what I see on the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media and elsewhere, I must be alone. There just aren't enough of me. I better just kind of stay quiet and mind my own business because, you know, America is changing. And that's why it's so important for people like you and ideas like Freedom 515 and others to be vocal and get out there, because people need to know that we are not alone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's strength in numbers. And, you know, people might say, oh, well, at some of their events, they only had 30 people. Well, those 30 people could tell 2 to 5 people, and it will continue to grow. And again, you know, revolutions were started with gatherings. I'm not saying anything about a violent revolution, but there is so much power in gathering with your fellow patriot and feeling that community and that love for your country, and continuing to, you know, to carry that message out to everyone you know, and hopefully bring them back to the organization. And so we can all get active. I think a lot of people and a lot of Americans are like, well, yeah, I'm upset, but where do I start? What can I do? And we're hoping that Freedom 515 can be a great outlet for that and a great opportunity for them to get involved and stand for the country.
Well, I'll tell you, your point on individuals and volunteers, it's not the generals and the people at the, you know, in the spotlight that win these important military battles, political battles, sociological battles, or whatever. It's the individuals behind the scenes doing the volunteer work, the grunt work, showing up, standing up, you know, in the schools with their children, making sure they're not afraid to speak out within their own circles of influence, that actually give us such a great opportunity to win. And so I'm sorry we got to you so late and had so much limited time with you today, but you've got my contact information now. As you put more events together, things come up. You know what I do, and I know what you do. Let's stay in touch, and we'll have you on the show anytime that that you've got something to tell us.
Absolutely. And if people want to check out, you know, what we're doing and what we're all about, or even volunteer with us, freedom515.com is the website. We'd love to hear from you all. And again, thank you so much for the opportunity, and I will definitely stay in touch.
Superb. Aaron Foley, great to hear from you. Have a great week. Will you be at the Night of Fire and Thunder tonight at Bandimere?
I will not. I'm trying to recoup a little bit from the madness of last weekend organizing.
It was
but,
crazy.
I will be making it to another event this summer for sure down there.
Very good. Well, I'm so glad that I stopped in, got to meet you, and to have you on this morning on the show. Take care.
All right. Absolutely. Me too. Thanks.
You bet. All right. We are at the final break of the show. I can't believe it. It's just too much. It goes too fast. There's so much to say. But, of course, we'll be back next Saturday. We've got one more segment, 303-696-1971. If you'd like to squeeze in a point, we'll keep them fast and flowing. Stay with us now here on 710 KNUS.
Text the studio directly on the 710 KNUS app. Get it free at the App Store or Google Play.
And you guys make good use of that 710 KNUS app. And as I promised, people ask about stuff, and I do get those texts on my laptop. So over the weekend, I can go through them and respond to you individually, send you stuff, answer your questions, things that I don't get to on the air. So keep them coming. I really, really do love it. And it just occurred to me, and I've been trying, you know, for the last few weeks to really make it a habit. We did some different versions and sniffed around for the best or the second best, or little kids doing the national anthem. And we jumped into the show. I had that whole 20-minute vent at the opening of the show and forgot all about something that for me is very, very important, a very important part of Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. So if you will, remove your hats if you've got them. Put your hands over your heart, if you have one, and enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Denver Broncos and the National Football League ask that you remain standing.
That ain't it.
And kindly remove your caps as we honor America.
Here we go.
And now to honor America, especially the brave men and women serving our nation in the Persian Gulf and throughout the world, please join in the singing of our national anthem. The anthem will be followed by a flyover of F-16 jets from the 56th Tactical Training Wing at MacDill Air Force Base, and will be performed by the Florida Orchestra under the direction of Maestro Yaha Ling and sung by Grammy Award winner Whitney Houston.
Wait for it. Live for the flyover. Absolutely. And now I don't have to feel guilty all week. I know it came at the end of the show instead of the start of the show, but there you have it. I just love that rendition of our national anthem. So last thing, and I do apologize for people who've been frustrated on the phones today and a lot of guests and some interesting technical stuff that went on, but we have got to play this last kid addressing a school board. This kid really made a difference. He's 10 years old, and unlike the little girl that we played in the last hour, where it was a big room and it looked like a court with the board members sitting up high, you know, behind their big desk, looked like a bunch of Supreme Court justices looking down on the plebeians who dared to come in and speak before them, cower before them. This little 8-year-old girl by herself walks up there and she's mocking them some and clapping, good job, clapping their hands. This little 10-year-old boy had a prepared speech, and it's not too long, but from the mouths of babes, check this out.
I just turned 10 years old, and I am a fourth grader at Felix A. Williams. I expected school to be a little bit different in the beginning, but I didn't think it would stay this way all year long, and I was surprised by the rules. A lot of them didn't make any sense to me, like the fact that we were not allowed to play on the playground or have student council or turn to face each other at lunch. And we also have to wear masks outside at PE and on track. I love my school and all, but my teachers seem really stressed, and that makes me feel bad. One teacher walks around with a clipboard full of referrals for any student whose mask isn't on properly. It makes me feel scared. That same teacher yells at us having our masks down to drink water while we are outside in car line. She told us we had to wait until we were in our parents' car to have a drink of water. She had her mask down the entire time while she was yelling at us, which makes me and all my friends very mad. This happens a lot. And it seems unfair teachers take their masks off while they yell at us kids and that we need to pull ours up. I asked my mom if there is a word for this, and she said there is. Hypocrisy. Wearing a mask all day makes me feel really tired and gives me really bad headaches. Sometimes I'm at school and I need to lay low in the dark until they're gone. My mask also sticks to my face when it's really hot.
By the way, that bright beep, I think, was probably his time expired, but nobody stopped him. Oh, crud, I just killed it.
I just turned 10 years old, and I am a fourth grader at Felix A. Williams. I expected school to be a little bit different in the beginning.
All right, well, I'm not gonna replay that, and I can't get through. I can't fast forward to the end. I blew it. I really do apologize about that. I guess it does give me an opportunity to, one last time, it's less than a month to Father's Day, and I know it sounds silly, but as a car guy, a home handyman, a man cave geek, I love my unique coating from Solid Custom Garage Floor Coatings. And moms and kids, give your guys Man Cave that super gleam with a Solid Custom Garage Floor. You'll love the look, and you'll love it for dad. You'll love it for yourself. My wife loves being barefoot in the garage, going in and out now, doesn't have to worry about the mess that gets tracked in. And this thing is really cool. You've got time. I learned earlier that maybe, just maybe, you could still get a floor done before Father's Day if you wanted, but you could get it set up. You could take pictures. You could show them what you're doing for Dad and Father's Day. It's so cool because it's a unique coating. It's not just an epoxy. So much better than that. I can clean it real quick. It looks good all the time. Skid resistant, 4 times stronger than epoxy. And when my old Harley, My 1966 Harley, drips as it was designed to do, it doesn't stain the floor. It just wipes up with a paper towel. It massively upgraded the look and feel of our garage. I love it, and I know your guy will too. Remember, Father's Day, less than a month away. So call my friends at locally owned and operated Solid Garage Floor Coatings. The phone number, 303-219-8440. Free estimates at CoatTheRockies.com. Again, 303-219-8440. CoatTheRockies.com. You'll have dozens of options to choose from. They can get it done in a day, and maybe, just maybe, if you call them now, you can get it done before Father's Day. We shall see. So many things I wanted to get to with you today. We're going to run out of time here, and since I messed up the recording of the kid, let me just tell you, at the end of his remarks, The board, that school board, voted 4-1 to keep masks mandatory for only 12 remaining days in the current school year. After that, masks will become optional for summer school students beginning June the 1st. So I don't know if they were headed that way or not, but that brave little kid, and you heard the amazing 8-year-old little girl in the last hour, it's getting the job done. Really important. And you know, listen, our kids don't tell us what's best for them. I understand that. But how valuable was it to hear from them, their perspective, and the misery that we've created unnecessarily for our children for the last year plus with the homeschooling and then the forced masking inside, outside, during gym, during sports? It's absolutely insane. Front page of the Denver Post, some restaurants keep masks and distancing. Just amazing to me. And you know, God bless them. Business owners can do what they want. But if you're confronted with that situation, if you walk in with your face free face on Facebook, free faced on Facebook, by the way, now over 6,000. We were in the 3,000s when she came on a couple of weeks ago, over 6,000 members now. If you walk into a restaurant like that, don't take their mask and put it on. Just tell them, no, thank you. Turn around and walk out. That's how you send the message. And if certain people need to gather together in masks and certain businesses can support them, fine with me. But don't you support them. It's just, you just can't do it. Our freedom is so very important. I will see you tonight at Bandimere's Napa Auto Parts Night of Fire and Thunder. If you're out there, reach out to me somehow so we can connect and say hello. Check out useip.org if you'd like to help with election integrity right here in Colorado. And regardless of all that, always remember, please never, ever forget. I'm Randy Corcoran. God loves you. Your freedom is always worth fighting for. Never stop. Have a great weekend. Bird Talk. It's next.